Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you so very much for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing us, for being a part of your ministry, for having a mindset and desire to serve and to worship you. And Lord, we don't take it for granted how you blessed us in so many ways. And we just thank you for the mindset. We're in some troublesome time now, and people's mentality and their mental is really, really stressed. But I want to thank you so much for allowing your Holy Spirit to reign supreme in our life. We love you so much. In Christ's name we pray, amen. 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 I'm so torn over preaching and what I got to preach and all that. But one of the things, man, we're in some very, very challenging times. In Jeremiah chapter 12, in verse 5, it says, if racing against mere men make you tired, how will you race against horses? Right? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thicket near the Jordan? Right? So if you can't walk with the walkman, what you going to do when the horsemen come? Right? If we're struggling now, what are we going to do, man, as times get difficult? Right? And we're in some very, very difficult days, right? Some very challenging times. And so as we watch the country and we see things unfold in the country, it's alarming. You know, I watch some stuff on YouTube. Every now and then I'm flicking around and I'm watching people, and people are crying, and they just tore up how ISIS are just taking people off the job sites. It's just devastating, right? And I'm watching it, and I'm listening to people, and they're talking about the people that's immigrants and people who've been in the country for 30 years, and they say they have not gotten their visa or whatever, and now they're taking them back, and now the Supreme Court has ruled on this birthright issue, right? And I understand the people that's pro-America, and I am, right? We pro-America, everybody, oh, yeah, it's the right thing to do and all that. But I just want you to understand something. I believe with all my heart. I'm not saying I'm right. It's just what I believe, right? I believe that we all was created in God's image. And I think we all are part of God's family. And it's so important for us to understand that. And sometimes, man, people forget that none of us are really better than anybody else. And we have to remember that. So before you start cheering, and so many people cheered during the elections and all those different things and what was going on, people was cheering, and now people are crying. Some of the same people was cheering, some of the same people are crying now, right? And this it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge because people tell you need to go back to where you came from. And people don't realize that it's a whole lot of people came to America that wasn't from America, right? And so a lot of things is going on. And so we got to be very careful because when things happen against the LGBT community, against people handicapped or 501, people that are affirmative action and all those different things. So you had all these groups coming out and people cheering against them and they fighting against them. Just be careful because it may be knocking at your door next. So while you so against someone else, it's just a matter of time when something comes your way and then you need somebody to support you. Don't forget that every one of us, right, got some things going on in our life. And at any point, man, God could pull the plug on any of us, right? And so we can't think we're so great and so wonderful and we can belittle other people and that's what they deserve and all that, because it's some things that you've done in your life, all right, that God should have took you out, but he had mercy on you. It's only God's grace and God's mercy, right? And so it's important that we try to have a mind and a heart to understand, man, who God is. If nobody else stands up, the believers should stand up for righteousness. It's important. We should stand up for righteousness, right? And we should love people, man, the way God said love them. And that's important. And we don't really have time, man, to try to find a fault in other people's lives, man, when we got some things that's going on in our life. You know, so many people are struggling in different areas. And while you're trying to find fault in other people and you belittling other people because you think you have a little knowledge and all that, just hope and pray that God don't pull the blanket off you. Right? And then expose your shortcoming or your weakness. Right? And that's important. Right? That's important for us to understand because as believers, man, we should stand out. We should stand different. It was easy for them to call the people Christians because they had the mindset of Christ. Right? And they had the behavior mannerisms of Christ. Right? So they called them Christians because you can tell them from everybody else because they had the characteristics of their leader. And their leader was all about loving people and caring for people. So they call those people Christians. So some people who was against it persecuted and all that. But if it wasn't for them, man, what would the world be? Those people who made those sacrifices. Now, it's important. I know some people, man, are so conservative. Some of us are so conservative, man, we just feel like we're right. But I promise you, as I stand in this pulpit, you better pray to God that he don't pull the blanket off your life. Because while you're so conservative and you want people to think you're so right, remember, every human being got issues. Every human being. Your family, you know, people, I can't say about your family. I remember my mom used to say, what goes on at home? That's because there's some stuff going on at home that shouldn't been going on. Right? But if God exposed it, everybody look at you and you wouldn't be as righteous as they think you are. Right? And so if we spend more time loving people and caring for people, it would change the world. Right? So the sermon is about the power of transformation. Right? Now, I don't get into politics and all that because I don't like politics. But I think this is important because we have a responsibility to represent the God of the Bible. We need to represent him, and we represent him through love. Now, people, I know love has to be defined, Tiffany, right? So people got different versions of it, right? And some people think they're doing God a favor when they expose you. But they're not doing God a favor when they don't expose them, right? And so, but what if I didn't care about what you wore? What if I didn't care about what was going on in your life, except I just pray for you and just love you since I don't have the ability or the power to change you? What if I just love you and then let God do the rest? The world would be a much better place if I just love you, just do my part by loving you. Jesus said, my disciples would know me. They'd know you mine by the love you show, right? And so I want to talk to you guys about the power of transformation or transmutation, right? So I've been talking about, man, it's an inside job. And I really believe with all of my heart that the Bible is about an inside job. It's really about transformation and transmutation. You have ability to rise above the mess. If you don't like the situation that's going on in your life, man, you have the ability to change it, right? You have the power inside of you, man, to change your circumstance. Everybody say my circumstance. I don't have the power over your life, but I do have the power over mine, right? And I can really represent God the way I'm supposed to represent God. So I would challenge you to really consider transforming your life. Transform your life, man, so when people see you, they really see what Christ really looked like. Or when they encounter you or they interact with you, they really get to know who Christ really is. We can't shout about it. We can't talk about it. We just got to be about it. Right? And so as we see the flaws in other people's lives, right, I'm not saying condone none of the behavior. I'm saying just do your part. Just love them. Just love them and then allow God to do for them what he did for you. When you was in your sin and you was doing stuff and God gave you grace and mercy. And then somebody else, and he did it through people. Now, I know we want to put God and say, God's all, but he did it through people. There's some people that have forgiven you that shouldn't have never forgave you. What you did and what you lied on somebody about and the story you told and things you did and how you hustled somebody and how you treated some people in your family, they should never forgive you. But they did. But they did. That's what love is all about. It changes the world, right? And so I listened to Dick Gregory on a piece. He's dead now, but Dick Gregory did a piece, a little piece. It went long. He took his grandson outside, and it was raining real hard. And he took his grandson outside and over to, I think it was one of the big parks in New York. And he looked over there, and he showed his grandson this pond. And the rain was, the drops was hitting the pond. And he says, look like a big sheet of water because it was raining really high. He said, but it's really one drop at a time. He said, and here's the beauty of it. He said, every one of those drops has one job, to make their way back home. So they're going to hit the ground. They're going to work their way to the river. They're going to get to the lake, and they're going to work their way back home. And then he said this. I thought it was so important. He said that every one of us in life have one responsibility, to try to make our way back home. And God had one requirement, he said. He says, be as clean as you when you get back home as you did when you came here. He said, you came through your mother's womb. You came through that little door as clean as ever. He said, do whatever you can to try to make your way back home. And when you meet God, you be as clean as you was when you came here. What is he saying? Sanctify your life to the best of your ability. Try to live in such a way that nobody can really say things about you. If I spend my time transforming my life and make my life in such a way that you can't find any fault in my life, then I'm doing a pretty good job if I just can convince you of that by the way I live and the way I treat people. Right? But if I think I'm self-righteous and then on the side I'm having a sidebar conversation with my best friend, you know, like that's my best friend, right? And I say, you know, so-and-so, man, she ain't no good, bro. He said, yeah, I know. You know, yeah, my best friend is not really saved, right? But I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm Holy Ghost filled and I'm fire baptized, right? So I called my friend up and I said, man, listen, that girl, man, she ain't no good. She ain't worth a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of. And he said, man, you ain't lying because I know what she's about. And I go on, but guess what? Here's the problem. My friend is not saved, right? So my friend in the back of his mind said, man, why should I go to his church? Why should I be a part of the church he's telling me to come when he's doing the exact same thing as I'm doing? He's gossiping, he's talking behind people back, and he's smiling in their face. Right? And so it's important to understand that we have a responsibility to transform our lives so no one, not even our children, would be able to say anything different than anybody else. They'd be able to say, I know my mama's saved. I know my brother's saved. I know my cousin's saved. Right? That's the reputation you should have. It can only happen if you transform your life. Today is your birthday. Today you get to make a decision in your life that I'm going to transform my life because I have the ability to change my life. I can't change nobody else's, but I can make a decision today. Right? And like Jeremiah said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I don't care what Ardina do. I don't care what AJ do. I don't care. But I have responsibility. And I'm not. This includes the pastor. To live in such a way that when people come in contact with me, they get to see God in real time. Because he resides in us, right? But then it's hard for us to say God resides in us and we have the Holy Spirit when we out there doing things and saying things and creating problems and doing things that's so contrary to the God we say we serve. So you need to be like David when David had messed up. Right? David had messed up, and David was a man who loved God with all of his heart. But when David messed up with Bathsheba, and he had Bathsheba's husband killed, right? David said this. He said, ooh, God, please, whatever you do, don't remove your Holy Spirit from me. He said, I can't move. He realized that I had messed up. We got to realize, like, I messed up. Did nobody else? He said, I messed up. I screwed up. This thing, I'm in deep trouble, right? And I'm asking you, God, please forgive me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. right? Why is that? Because I'm committed to you, right? So you had, David had to have a transformational experience, right? And I'm reminded of a story of the caterpillar. Because the caterpillar is a unique creature, right? That is such a, they, sometimes they're so ugly, right? But watch this here. Sometimes your life is so messed up and so ugly on the outside. But on the inside, man, you are a jewel. You so beautiful on the inside. And that butterfly is on the inside trying to fight his way through. And he's struggling, trying to fight his way through. And when that butterfly finally popped out of that cocoon, everybody trying to catch it and put it on their finger. Everybody want to put it in the jar. It's always so beautiful. They got butterfly garden. Because the transformation that has taken place is absolutely amazing. What about your life? Inside of you, man, you're like a caterpillar, but inside of you is God hidden on the inside, waiting to come on the outside. And sometimes there's a struggle going on. Sometimes I got some flaws in my life. I got some things that I'm struggling with, and I'm fighting with those things, but one thing for sure, I'm going to fight my way out of the cocoon. You got to know that you're struggling, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel, right? But the only way I can get to be that butterfly, the only way you can experience the true who I am, I don't need anybody else to help me. I don't need anybody else to crack the cocoon. I got to fight my way out of this myself because it's an inside job. I got to clean up my own life. I got to get whatever flaw, whatever, I got to struggle. And that's what it represents. You got that struggle going on in your life. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, just keep fighting through it. Keep fighting through it because I promise you, you are a precious, precious, precious piece of jewelry. Right? And you're so valuable. Right? You're so valuable. Right? And God knew that because he created you in his image, in his likeness. And he knew he downloaded in you the best of the best. So you have the best inside of you. You're not mediocre. You are thebomb.com. Right? And whatever family you came through is the family God intended for you to come through. And the struggles that you have in God intended for you to have the struggles, he know once you fight your way through it, man, the world going to know who you are. And every, watch this here. Whenever you see somebody fight their way through their cocoon, when they pop through, boy, everybody want to be around them. Everybody, I can't believe, ooh, man, I remember them when they was. What a powerful testimony. That's what I used to be. Right? You got some people who want to keep you down and keep talking about you, but the people that want to keep you in their space is the people that's still in their space. Right? So they don't want you to get ahead of them. Because they're still struggling. But all you have to do is show them God's love in you. So no matter what they do to you, you just keep expressing God's love to them because he already brought you out. Right? A real saint don't ever hurt anybody else. A real saint don't kick anybody else when they're down. We don't think we're better than other people. Because we realize that we all come from the same pool. And my daddy is the bomb. Because my daddy is your daddy. I love my mama. Because my mama is your mama. And we all connected. We all one. Right? Don't judge somebody based on your insecurities. Don't judge them based on your insecurities. Right? Just love them and ask God to help you through your insecurities so you can be the butterfly that everybody can look at and want to be around. I'm telling you, God ain't no joke. And he don't make no junk. So when David said, created me a clean heart, created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a loyal spirit. He needed to make sure he remained loyal to God because he was the king. And everybody that came in contact, he messed up big time, right? Sometimes we're going to mess up. But once we recognize we mess up, I always tell my wife all the time, I try to be conscious of my unconsciousness, right? I try to be conscious of my unconsciousness. And I remind her often about the decision I made to be conscious of my unconsciousness so I don't keep making the same mistakes I used to make. Right? Because sometimes things have happened in our life and we let that thing come back and run our life. But that stuff is really dead and gone. It really don't have no power in our life unless we give it power. Because it's over with. Right? And so I try to be conscious so I don't let some traumatic experience that happened in my life come up and sneak its way back in my life and then I don't behave like I'm supposed to behave as a follower of Christ. Right? So when Paul wrote in Romans, he says, and be not conformed to this world, right? What's this world? Don't be selfish, egotistical, it's all about you. I'm the one, I got to drive the finest car. You know, I'm the man. Listen, most people that's rolling like that broke anyway. They just don't tell nobody they broke. You know, they faking it to make it. If you follow them home, they got credit cards stacked up to the max. But they look good on the outside because they're trying to impress the world. So they have a world mentality, and they have a tendency to want to put other people down as they move in the world. But he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. He says, change your mindset. Change the way you think. Be the person God intended for you to be. He said, it's an inside job. Can't nobody do it for you but you. Right? It doesn't matter what you do, it only matters what I do. That's how you got to think. So I don't care how you treat me, but it does matter how I treat you, though. Because the way I treat you is going to change the way you treat others. Because when you know, you can't even trick anybody. When you know you treating somebody wrong and they treating you with love, you feel it. You'll go home and look in the mirror, but sometimes you got too much pride to tell somebody. But that thing will eat at you because God is working on you. And he's making you feel guilty. You can take your makeup off. You can take your wig off. You can take your suit off and all that, but you can't take you off. Because you were matters. Right? And so I'm here to challenge you. We're in some difficult days, right? But I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the economy. Don't be afraid of what they're saying. I don't even watch the news that much, right? So don't get all excited about what's going on. All I'm telling you is be the best version of you. Because you can't control what happens somewhere else, but you can control what you do. Right? And how you treat people. So don't talk about what they're doing over in Israel or when you're right at home and you cussing people out and calling them names and starting rumors and ruining people's reputation. Right? And the family can't stand to see you coming, but you're supposed to be saved. Right? So I'm challenging you change the way you think. Right? Have the same mindset that Christ had. Right? Listen to what John says. Right. But you belong to who? You belong to the one that created you. You don't even belong to your parents. You belong to God above your parents. They just a vehicle that God used to get you here. So I don't care what my mama say, I got to know what God says. I don't care what dad says. I got to know what God said. If I got to live according, because sometimes if my mama was raised wrong, she may teach me wrong. I know my mama used to tell me some things sometimes. I'm like, okay, mama, it's a good idea, but I don't think we ought to do that one. Right? So, you know, it's some things, and sometimes you do things to survive. But I'm saying when you transform your life and you realize that I ain't never behind the eight ball, right? I don't have to lie to the insurance agent. I don't have to tell nobody I'm not home, right? Because God is in control of everybody and everything. So he's a spirit, and spirit works in the minds of people. So somebody can change their mind even when you think they won't change their mind. But if I start off lying and not, because somebody told me to behave this way, but my father told me to walk in righteousness. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all that other stuff, it'll be added to your life. Do you trust him? Right? Then change the way you think then. Transform the way you think. I made some decisions in my life. I said, you know what? This is the way I'm going to think. I said, I don't care what nobody, this is how I'm going to move. I don't do a lot of thinking. You say something I don't like, it may go in one ear and out the other. I don't hold on to nothing. Right? I don't hold on to your thoughts and then it take me down in a spiral. I'm making a decision to live for God. Right? And it's important because we interact with people every single day. And God wants us to be better people. And here's the deal. Don't raise your hand if you're in a relationship, man, and your spouse is an idiot. They call you name, they cuss you out, they say all kind of stuff, and they treat you like crap. Don't raise your hand, because you might get elbowed, right? But what happens, man, if your spouse or your significant other love God so much that you became the most important thing in their life? What would that look like? What would it look like if they love you, man, the way God said love you? What would that look like? I want you to picture your kid, right, loving you, being the kind of kid that God intended for them to be. Just the perfect kid. Just picture that, right? Now, after you picture that, picture yourself being the parent that God intended for you to be with them and the love you should show with them. You have to change, because sometimes our parents, or we grew up in community, told us to beat the hell out of them. They don't understand unless you beat them. And I still didn't like the beating. Everybody said, but it worked. No, it didn't work, right? It just made me angry, and I just took it out on somebody at school, right? I'm not saying you discipline with love, not to hurt people, right? And it should be love. But if you don't transform the way you think, I'm going to let them know I'm running this house. No, God really running the house, but he's running through you. So you have to see everything through the lens of God. Everything you do, and it'll change the whole temperament of your house. It'll change the temperament of your job, your community, everything when you transform the way you think. Let this mind be in you that was also where? In Christ Jesus. Now this is what he says. He said, you have already won the victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you. Everybody say in you. So when you became a, raise your hand if you're a believer, right? Now, so you got a powerful force that's inside of you, that's working inside of you. Yield to it. Yield to that spirit that's inside of you. Yield to the God that's inside of you. He tell you every single second what to do. Every single second he tell you the right thing to do. It's not a time to go by. He didn't tell you what decision to make and what's the right decision. Every single time he give you the right decision. All you have to do is yield to it. But you have to transform, because the world is telling you one thing. Your girlfriend, your friend, your brother, your uncle, they tell you one thing, but God is always telling you the right thing to do. And listen, if you don't change, right, you're going to pass on those same behaviors, poor behaviors, to your colleague, to your children, to your neighbor, right? You're going to be something other than. You're going to end up being the adversary, not the devil, but the adversary. Right? So when he said the spirit that lives within you is greater, everybody say greater, than the ones who don't know who God is. They don't claim him as their Lord and Savior. They don't recognize him, right? And sometimes they won't recognize him because you won't show them him. Because they don't need to see God in the sky. They need to see him in you. Because people who don't know God really rely on relationships. And God works through people. So if we don't transform the way we think in our mind, we're going to keep on doing what we've always done, and we're going to get the same results. Everybody going to dislike everybody. We're going to keep on talking. I'm going to point my finger at them. I'm going to find the flaws in your life while my life is jacked up. And now we all, so as I talk about Terrio, then Dale talking about me. While Dale talking about me, she talking about Dale. Right? And while she talking about Dale, she talking about her. Because when you sow that seed, that thing just grow. It just grow. Because you're going to reap what you sow. So if you want something different, you got to do something different. That only happens when you transform the way you think. Rise above the mess and be better than the rest. Let people know who he is. You ain't got to have no money. All you got to have is God in your heart. And he resides in you. He's not asking you, come to church and give some money. No, I want you to come to church and love people. That's what I want you to do. I ain't telling you, you need to give all this money to the. No, I want you to love people. Because when you love people, you give out of love. And guess what? You'll never go without because somebody's going to give to you out of love. You can plant one. Listen, you can plant one apple seed and create a whole orchard from one apple seed. One person can change a whole. Listen, I'm the pastor, right? So I planted a church in 2015. Look at all the people here, man, because I decided to do it. Look at all the people impacted, not just you, all the people that's online, and the people that's blown here that's not even here anymore because I made a decision. I made a decision to start a church. Right? You make a decision to do something, it impacts a lot of people. So don't think you're insignificant. You are extremely, extremely important. I think that's why God just hangs out so tough with you all the time. And every time you get ready to do something wrong, he said, now listen, man, you represent me. So, hey, go the right way. Do the right thing. God ain't some people say, well, the devil, God ain't never told nobody to do nothing wrong. He always leads you down the right path. We just got to make the right decision. It only happens when we transform our life and we give our entire heart to God. Because I don't have no money. I don't own nothing. I got a big old house, 5,400 square foot, and don't even own it. If I don't pay the tax, they're going to take it. So God makes sure I got the money to pay the taxes. Everything I have is because of him. Everything you, don't you think it's yours? He blessed you to have it. So if he blessed you to have it, he also blessed you to share it. That's what church is all about. You are the church. You are the representative guy in real time. In real time, right? I got to get going. Now watch this here. It's important. The power of God residing within a believer is greater than any external force or influence in the world. I don't care what you come up against. I don't care who it is. I don't care how powerful they think they are. There's nobody you'll ever run into, man, greater than the God that's in you. So you put your pants leg on one at a time like everybody. I don't care how smart they think they are. I don't care how powerful they think they are. Right? They're not greater than the God that's in you. So all I got to do, whenever I'm interacting with people, you got to change the way you think. You got to transform the way. I don't care who I run into. I always think God got me. I'm in this thing not by myself. I got my right hand with me. Right. So not only if I go in with God by my side, I also go in representing him. So if he's on my side when I deal with you, he's also on my side when I deal with you. So I don't need God. So God, now I'm going for this job interview. I want you to, no, I need to be God when I'm at the mall, when I'm on the basketball court. You know, when my kids don't do what they're supposed to do. When my husband don't come home or my wife don't come home and they don't answer the phone like I don't do for Arlena. And she said, I didn't call you 7 times. I said, honey, I thought I had it off. Do not disturb. She said, get the phone off, vibrate, Arthur. Right. Now, but serious, but think about this, Terrio. Every time you show up with Tasia, God is showing up with you. Right? So when Tasia get on your last nerve, God said, okay, what you going to do now? Are you going to clown on her or what? Right? Don't say, oh, baby, you know I love you when she do something good. He said, nah, she didn't do something you like. Are you gonna how you going to show up now? Well, you know, but God, you don't understand. She got my last, the kid, he said, and I put you in the situation. I want you to represent me in the situation. He said, let me work it out. It's not a situation you're in, man. God is not right there with you. It's not a situation you're in. He didn't put you in the situation. So you got to transform the way you think. You got to say, if I'm in the situation, he put me there and he's there with me. He said, if you go to the depths of hell, I'll be there. Now, some of us are so super deep, man. We don't understand, man, that God is with us every step of the way. Everywhere we go, he's there. I was talking to a young lady. She said, I had a friend, and I did something for my friend. They owed me some money. They said, well, I thought you didn't need it. Right? And I was saying to myself, I said, that girl, I told her, she knew. Raise your hand if you ever borrowed some money from somebody. Raise your hand, honestly. Right? Now, everybody that borrowed some money from somebody, you remember you owed them. Now, you may not have paid them back, but every time you saw them, I said, I know I owe them 20. You know, I mean, like I forgot, but I didn't forget. Now here's the crazy thing. Sometimes I forget you. Watch this. Sometimes I forgot that I loaned it to you, but you never forget you owed me. Isn't God different? Because he said you never ever borrow with the intent not to pay back. He said, I'm always remind you, you're supposed to get this back. You said, oh, they don't need it. God said, you don't know their circumstance. They bless you. That's how God works. He said, I'm there. He's telling you all the time how to move. It won't happen if you don't transform the way you think. Change the way you think, and you'll change the way you move. Change the way you think, you'll change your lifestyle. Right? It's important. Where you hang out, who you're with, matters with the way you think. I don't care what you say. All I can do is watch what environment you're in. And remember, you are solid gold, right? So I'm at the camp. I'm going to finish this sermon next time, because I'm going to get out of here. But I want to say this here. I go to Jay's basketball game. He goes to the Point Guard Academy. This is going to be interesting. Part 12. You part 12 now. You was 1-2, but 12 now, right? Right now, that's my partner. I love them boys. They're my boys when they're kids, man. Look, he's shaking his head on me. I dug it. Listen, this is important. You're going to love this one right here. Watch. So I'm at the camp, and the director gets up, and he tells this story. And I'm going to end the sermon with this story, and I'm going to finish the sermon next week. So come back next week with your cousin. Right? Now, he said it was this young boy had this mentor, and he had this rock. And he got the rock, and he told the mentor, he said, man, I found this rock, and it looked like it's shiny, and it looked very valuable. He says, well, take it down to the corner store, to the pawn shop down the store, and ask the guy, what is it worth? He said, but when you get there, he gives the guy, he going to ask you, well, how much did you pay for it? What do you think it's worth? He said, just do this, raise up 2 fingers. So he went down to the pawn shop, and he said, what is it worth? He said, how much did you pay? He said, well, I'll give you $20 for it. He said, oh, man, $20? So he went back and told him, he said, man, he told me to give me $20. So he said, okay. He says, all right, take it down to the corner store over there, across the street. It's a jewelry store. He took it. He said, and when you get there, the guy gonna ask you, "Would you pay?" He said, "Just two fingers." He said, "And I, he'll tell you what it's worth." And he went and say, "I got this stone I found." He says, "How much you pay for it?" He said, "Well, I'll give you $200 for it." The guy said, "What?" So he went back to his mentor and told the mentor, "Said, oh man, he gave me $200." He said, "Wow." He said, "Well, take it over there." He went over there. He said, "And when you get over there, the guy will ask you how much you pay for it. What's it worth?" He said, "Just give him, just show him two fingers." He went up there. He says, "Hey," he said, "What'd you pay for?" He said, "Two." He said, "I give you $20,000 for it." He said, "Man, again, the guy told me $20,000. He said, "Really?" He said, "Well, take it over there, though. See what he got to say." He took it over there. He said, "And tell him the same thing." The guy said, "Well, what is it worth to you?" He said, "Man, I give you $2 million. He said, "You're playing, right?" He went back and told his mentor. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Guess what?" He said, "I want to tell you something. I'm going to close on this." He said, "This good part." Here's what he said. The rock never changed. The value of the rock only changed based on the environment it was in. Right? You are who you are with the people you hang around. If you run with junk, you'll be junk. It makes a difference what environment God puts you in. If you go to an environment you ain't got no business in, then you ain't gonna be worth nothing. But remember, you're a jewel, you was worth $1 million from the beginning. Yes. Right? But you can get around some people who will treat you like you're worth a dollar. Right? My grandson said, "Pawpaw," he said, "I was at camp." He said, "Man," and he went down to camp at the Port Guard Academy. It's a big academy. He said, "Oh my," he said, "Pawpaw," he got in the car, he said, "Pawpaw, they treated me like I was Michael Jordan." No, I didn't. They treated me like I was LeBron James. So he got all awards. So they got all these bands. They don't give special players bands, right? So it's 130 kids at the camp from all over the country, right? And he got every one of the bands, right? And he ended up giving his bands away. He said, "Is it interesting?" He said, "But they don't treat me like that back home." I said, "You was in a different environment where they value you more." Right? So you got to know that. And you got to remember this here. If God is in me, everywhere I go, it can be valuable. Right? But I also got to be careful where I go, because I also can go and devalue myself. Right? So that means some of you all got to change who you hang around. So you got to transform your community, who you with. When I wanted to change my life, I found Johnny Bankhead. Walking down the street. And I said, "Listen, I was changed. I was shooting dice on the corner and stealing radiator out of cars. But when I found Johnny, it changed my life." Amen. Amen. I went from a kid on ADC to a kid making $105,000 a year as athletic director. Because I changed my life. Amen. When I changed my community, I changed my world. Yes. Yes. I challenge you all to transform the way you think. When you transform the way you think, you transform the people you're around. And when you transform the people you're around, you will be a different person. Because you are a product of the environment that you're in. Everybody stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap. Let us bow our heads. If there's anyone out there that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that God want to change your life. He want to transform you into being the person that he created you to be. You can't do it apart from him. I'm telling you, embracing Christ in your life and allow God be the Lord of your life, you don't have to worry about anything. All you got to do is trust him. And he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. You don't even have room enough to receive. So I want to offer to those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to offer him to you. And I want to give you an opportunity to be a part of this kingdom family and join this family. And if you're interested in being a part of the Kingdom Embassy family, right, or you're interested in just giving your life to God and going back to your own church wherever you are, if you're visiting, but you have not made a commitment to God, let the day be your birthday. Let's bow our heads. We'll have the prayer warriors come up. Heavenly Father, there's people out there in the audience and people online who need you more than they need water itself. They need you more than life. And I'm asking you, Lord, to allow them to trust you and to trust your guidance and your direction. Lord, I'm asking you to allow them to see you for who you are, as a person to have their best interests. And you want to help them be everything they can be so they can see people the way you see people and love people the way you love people. So, Lord, I thank you for those who make a commitment to you, those who rededicate their life to you, who's making a recommitment today. I want to say thank you for them. And, Lord, as we leave this place, never your presence, we ask you to be with us. Guard our hearts. Guide our minds. Be with us. Let us have a conversation. Let us talk in the car. Let's discuss the sermon. Let us talk about transforming our life. Let us make a commitment today to each other and say, hold me accountable as I be accountable to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Consider yourself dismissed. Those who like prayer, come up for prayer. God bless you.